Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Joe Crane. And Joe ran for the United States Senate 2 years ago in Missouri, and she ran against Senator Josh Hawley and former Senator Claire McCaskill. So, Joe, that was an interesting way to get involved in politics. What made you decide to jump into the Senate race?
Well, my frustration with politics is that it feels like everything is broken. And so I was reading about the Green Party, and it looked like an easy way to get a platform. It wasn't necessarily an easy way to win, but it was an easy way to register as a, you know, file as a candidate and run on the Green Party ticket. And so I took advantage of it, and I got an opportunity to debate, to be in the first debate that they had with Hawley and Claire McCaskill and a fellow by the name of Craig O'Dear, who I think his name was really appropriate. And the Libertarian candidate did not show up for that debate. So I managed to get the spot that he would have had, which was the first to open up, you know, for the debate, and the last to close, which was really a prestigious place to be. And I was thrilled about that. So, but it was fun. And I was watching Hawley do his debate, and it looked like he was looking at a coach in the audience, you know, whether he did it like he was supposed to or not. But every answer he had was that Claire McCaskill was a Hollywood liberal. Every answer, not just one, every answer, that was his answer. So,
say that again. His answer was that Claire McCaskill was what?
A Hollywood liberal.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, she may or may not have been, but I got so disgusted about the fact that there was no there in any of these people's answers, except maybe for Craig O'Dear, who said pretty much the same thing I just said to you: the system is all broken. But
right.
Neither one of them brought anything to the table to fix any of the systems that were broken, mind you.
Wow.
So
Josh Hawley, as of right now, you know, this is almost the end of January, has become, you know, he's in the forefront, and with his stance on supporting Trump. When you ran against Hawley, did you pick up any signals that he was inclined to do what he's been doing?
He was pretty much boilerplate Republican. He wanted to repeal and replace Obamacare. And the fact that he has a son, I think, that has existing conditions didn't seem to affect his ambition to do that. All of his answers were boilerplate. I looked at him as pretty much a cookie cutter Republican. And the one thing I did see him do that was not cookie cutter was he actually was instrumental in getting our Republican governor, Missouri governor, Eric Greitens at the time, getting him to resign for a couple of pieces of malfeasance. One was a campaign fundraising thing where he, Governor Greitens, had taken a database from a nonprofit, and I think he was involved with a nonprofit, but he took that database and used it for a fundraising database, which went against fundraising rules. Not that we have all that many in Missouri. Eric Greitens was a very macho guy, you know, with pictures of himself with guns. And he apparently assaulted and forced some woman into a sex act, and he hit her. So basically, he was not a good guy. But basically, he was forced out of office not for his nastiness as a male human being, but as the fundraising thing that he did. That was he eventually had to pay a big fine on it.
Okay, so
but the reason I say that made Holly stand out was, first of all, it was totally against the GOP thing, you know, never speak against any other GOP candidate. And two,
right.
he managed to stay in the news all that summer because of that. So he had, you know, really opportunistically feasted on that newsworthy bit.
So he took advantage of the media, more or less, and throughout the campaign was Claire McCaskill a credible candidate for re-election, do you think?
Claire McCaskill is an extremely intelligent woman. The candidate that she faced in the 6 years before Josh Hawley, she actually managed to get the conservatives to pick the worst candidate. And he had a lot of tendencies about misogyny. And so
right.
she was able to get her base ginned up because of that candidate. This time, it felt like she was ready to let go. She still had all of her folks working on it hard, but she had no issue she was running on, I don't believe. And so I don't think she was in it to win it. She didn't want to have, she had a primary person, a Justice Democrat person, running against her, and she worked very hard to keep that primary person out of it. But other than that, she, you know, other than just stomping on the, you know, not debating with her primary person, she just, I just don't feel like her heart was really in it. So
you think Josh Hawley kind of like was in a situation where it wasn't too hard to win the seat. Would you agree?
I would agree. And he had a special backer too. He had former Senator Danforth, who was is a Republican saint in Missouri. And Danforth has come out recently that backing Josh Hawley was the worst mistake he ever made. So he's kind of, you know, shot himself in the foot with some of his backers.
Mm. So when January 6th happened, the storming of the Capitol, and
right.
and to vote, you know, for whether or not, you know, Trump should, you know, remain, you know, for a third term or whatever. It was the Electoral College that day.
When you saw
what Josh Hawley was doing on that day and subsequent days, were you shocked? Did that shock you?
No, Republicans never shock me anymore. What does get me kind of curious is that he continued to maintain the big lie that there was a lot of election fraud, even after Attorney General Bill Barr said there was no election fraud. So he was spouting the same big lie along with Trump and supporting Trump in his big lie. That I felt he should pay for, but hey, we've lost the era of accountability somewhere.
So the two senators that are in the forefront is Hawley and also Ted Cruz. And in 2016, Donald Trump did everything in his power to annihilate Ted Cruz. What do you think these two men are in the forefront to possibly throw their hat in the ring for president in 4 years?
Oh yeah. If Trump doesn't run, they'll for sure do it. And that's the thing. That's the one thing that puzzles me. It would be in their best interest to see that Trump does not run again ever. But they're loath to upset their base at all. That's the part that just drives me crazy, is that we have these people who are so willing to believe things that aren't true, and they don't look for any other news or any other ideas or any other suggestions about what's going on. It's always they're hung into that cult-like fixation.
Does Judge Hawley's ambition surprise you? I mean, he's only been in the Senate a couple of years, and all of a sudden he's one of the most talked about senators in this country. Does his ambition, you know, surprise you in any way?
No, I looked at a Pitch article, and I sent you that article, that said that, first of all, he came out with early on with a support from Danforth, and from he had his own personal billionaire, who I think, like Danforth, has since said, oh, I'm done with him. He took advantage of the fact that Missouri had very lax campaign funding laws. So he was being groomed. He was being groomed right from the get-go, and they plunked him right into the Attorney General's office. Let's be real. I mean, he's a smart guy. He went to Stanford, and he went to Yale. So there's nothing wrong with his brains.
Right.
But he had somebody, I think, that was really pulling the strings for him big time. And it wasn't just Danforth. It was a whole collection of folks in Missouri that felt like, oh, this is a up and coming star, and we can really push him forward and get him into the mix big time. And they did. They did. And what did Josh Hawley do when he got into the Senate? Well, he looked at what Trump was doing. Okay, he took lessons from Trump. Trump started out, when he was campaigning in 2016, Trump started out by mouthing some of the stuff that Bernie was talking about Senator Bernie Sanders, and he acted as if he was a populist. Oh, you know, I'm going to give us the best health care there ever was. So you'll never see a better health care anywhere in the world. I'll have the best health care from day one, if I recall what he was saying. But he just went on in that vein the whole 2016. And, his base really cared about was a couple of things, immigration. And then he did the ban on Muslims traveling to the U.S. right off the bat, right? So what he's done there is Trump pivoted real quick to the other. So, he's not going to do anything for people, but he's going to make people really care about that other. Oh, the Mexicans are coming down in caravans. There's this ton of folks that are coming. You know, he really turned up his base. And you'll hear Holly say the same things, except now Holly has added, big tech, because Google shut out his mentor there from tweeting 24 hours a day. Yeah. And and he's also against China. You know, that's his other nemesis. Oh, the big yellow scare. You know, China's a big threat. So he's watched Trump very carefully about how to do things. But he's also kind of taken some turns to some of the populism, like the $2,000 check. He co-signed a bill with Bernie Sanders for $2,000 checks for people for the COVID relief. So he's really taking note. Well, he does not have, I don't think he's got a real sincere ethics backbone, but by God, he really has an opportunistic backbone, and he looks at every opportunity there ever was. So, and he's also, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No problem. It's your show. Bless your heart. What he has done is he's turned around like Trump, and he has filed a complaint against the seven senators that complained against him. So he truly believes that the best defense is a good offense. And I'm done now.
So you think that Senator Hawley has patterned his time in the United States Senate? He's patterned it like Donald Trump would act, right?
I think so, yeah. He's not as big a bully, I don't think. I don't think he's as big a bully as Donald Trump, but I think he has used some of those measures that he felt comfortable with.
Now, he's a fairly young guy, and he moved up to the top where you hear his name all the time pretty quickly. I mean, 2 years, that's I would say that he's comparable in a way to Barack Obama, who had a national following very early, and now so does Josh Hawley. Would you agree?
I would agree, and I would agree that he probably had a lot of backers that have helped push him up there. So you can't get there all by yourself to that particular level.
Right.
It's just not possible. But he's had a lot of backers, and they've moved him right on up.
Now, did Josh Hawley run for any other office? Was he ever an elected official before he won the Senate race?
Now, I don't know for sure, but I'm thinking that the Attorney General's office was the first one he had run on. And I'm just saying this out of this Pitch article that I read. They just moved him right into the Attorney General's office because of all the big backers that he had, and thought nothing of it. And then, you know, two years went by, and so they shoved him right into the Senate office, just slick as you could say, don't do it, you know?
You know, I remember talking to you a few years ago. I was speaking with, I believe, Green Party candidates at that time, and you told me the Democratic Party contacted you and asked you to get out of the race so that Claire McCaskill can benefit from that. Now, if Claire McCaskill's heart was not in actually winning the race in 2018, why did the Democratic Party want to interfere in what you were doing?
I don't know, and I don't know why they didn't allow an open primary. The only thing I can think of is that Claire McCaskill did not want to admit that she was ready to step down. But as you know, she had a great MSNBC contract right after that, and she's been much happier. But basically, the problem I have with Claire McCaskill, and I talked to you about this before, she and I were both in the Women's Political Caucus, you know, the late 1970s, early 80s. And the Women's Political Caucus was primarily set up so that women could run for office. And it was a way to create supporters and backers and, some kind of organization that would give people support for running for office. And Claire McCaskill took advantage of that. After all, you have a ready-made base of supporters. And there were some people, we took classes on how to run for office, you know, what all you had to do and that sort of thing. I took it, but I didn't run for office then. But the frustration I have with Claire McCaskill, and she did a good job. She ran for state auditor. And did a great job as state auditor in Missouri. And then she ran for senator. And then when she ran for senator, she was a centrist Democrat. You know, here she became like every other centrist Democrat. So if you're interested in any kind of progressive politics, they shun you as if you had the plague. Which is just, this is just so frustrating to me. They have such a tight grip on everything, and they don't want to have anything for the people. It's all for the corporations. So Claire McCaskill, like a lot of them, became a corporate crat. At least that's what I call them, corporate crats. And so they, in turn, did the bidding of whatever the corporate folks wanted or whatever the corporate lobbyists wanted and ignored what the people needed. Still do that to this day. So I won't miss Claire McCaskill. And she did not bring more women into the Senate. She did not increase the population of the female population in the Congress and the Senate.
We only have a few minutes left, but let me ask you this question. If you were not in the race, would that have made an appreciable difference for Claire McCaskill?
Oh, hell no.
Okay.
I was not that successful. nor did I really try to be. I saw what was happening, and I didn't want to be the spoiler. So, no, I didn't spoil it.
Okay. You know, in a couple of weeks, there's going to be the impeachment of the second impeachment of Donald Trump. And that's going to, be on the news and that's going to be talked about. And I'm sure that Josh Hawley will have a couple of things to say about that. So as the impeachment process goes on, and I'm sure there'll be other things down the line, I would really love to have you back on All Access Closed to do commentary about what you feel is going on. Would you like to do that with me?
Oh, yes, I really would. And I really appreciate, I listened to some of your podcasts, and I really appreciate that your willingness to let people talk. And as you can tell, I'm a talker.
Well, that's good. That's really good. So do you have ambitions down the road for other political offices, or are you going to remain a spectator?
Well, at the moment, I'm 79. I am recovering from COVID. And
ooh.
So I'm my ambitions are severely curtailed right at the moment. So
oh, okay.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. I'm glad that you recovered. Was it a bad case?
Well, I haven't totally recovered. For some odd reason, I wound up with a clot. And so, you know, those are not particularly fun. So,
right.
But other than that, I seem to be hanging in there really, really good. And I don't understand. I don't understand how come. But
wow.
At any rate, I am doing pretty good. So.
So we'll talk again within the next few weeks, I would think. And, you know, as this political season unfolds, I value your comments. So you've been listening to Joe Crane. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Joe, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you. All right.